I'm going to tell you just right up front, I'm in trouble already, okay? Not because it's 8 a.m. I think more because I woke up at 2:30, and I think it hit me that this was going to be a big week. So my mind wouldn't stop. It wouldn't let me stop, and now I'm probably super tired and super vulnerable right now to you, okay? So I'm going to apologize if this turns into a weep fest up here, you know? I get weepy and sad. But I think that's just where God has me. It must have been where he wanted me this morning, okay? So I'm going to embrace it. So let's just take a moment and give thanks to the Lord for this morning. Heavenly Father, we just pause and we look to you and we lift up our voices and our thoughts and our hearts to you in prayer. We call upon your name. We ask you to be with us here this morning. We ask you to lead our worship, to be at work in our hearts, to bring change to our lives, Lord. We pray that this these passages that we read about your resurrection and your appearing to people, Lord, that we would take these to heart as the greatest truth in all the world and the thing that matters most in all of our lives, Lord. And so we pray today that this wouldn't be just something where we come and we ritualistically go through some motions here, Lord, but that we really believe in you and trust you and want to follow you, and you help build us up and strengthen us and equip us to do that. Thank you so much. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I need to say something kind of lighthearted to you to get myself in the right position to do this, okay? In men's Bible study yesterday, I asked the guys what to predict a song that we would be singing today. And I have to give the prize to Jeff Mundell for calling He Lives. You get the prize, Jeff. All right, so everybody give Jeff a big hand there. Okay. Now, they didn't get my song that I picked, all right? But who can guess my song that I picked? Anybody got an idea? Okay, that's a good one. That wasn't it, no. This is a resurrection song, really. Oh, you know it, Steve. Steve already knew it. He was there. Yeah, mine was Up from the Grave He Arose. That was what you just said. Yeah. Yeah. An old favorite of mine there. Do you guys know that song? Can you spontaneously sing that song? Are we allowed to do that? And I'm a bad singer, so I don't really want to lead it. Who can help me lead that song, all right? We can do it. We can just sing the first part of it, the first verse of it, all right? Can you help me with that, Janelle? Are you able to do it?
Sure.
Okay. Stand over here with me and help me. I'll put you on the spot, okay? Now, do we need a hymn? We can do this without a hymn. Can everybody stand up? Some of you don't know this, all right?
Low in the grave, that one, right?
No.
Up
from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to praise. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. That's one. Now do you recognize that one? Okay, thank you. You may be seated. All right, good job. Spontaneous worship. But that one, I always liked that one as a kid, you know. Put you all on the spot there. So, today I'd like to share with you a two-part message. Now, you're here in the 8 o'clock service, so you're getting the first part. And some of you may be just here for the 8 o'clock service, and there's going to be a different message in the 11 o'clock service today. If you're interested, you can watch the second part, or you can come to both services, and you'll really get your money's worth then, okay? You'll get the full meal deal, especially if you come to the potluck in between. And it's just an awesome day. This is just a celebration today. So today, though, I'd like to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is more from the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And what I'd like to talk to you about today is the truth of the resurrection. The truth about the resurrection, that is. The truth about the resurrection. So let me read the passage that we're going to be covering today to begin with this morning. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage. We pray that through your Holy Spirit, that you would show us what this means and the significance of this, the importance of this in our lives, Lord. We really, there's nothing more important than these words that we're about to talk about. These are of first importance. Thank you so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a church, and this church is a pretty immature church spiritually. It's a church where, and I talked about this, maybe it was very recently, it seems, I can't remember exactly what day that was, but that this church was one that when it came time for communion, people would come just to eat the food and get drunk. People would put themselves first. They would rush to the front, okay? That this church was very concerned, consumed with spiritual gifts that made them look like they were closer to the Lord, or they was with the flashier gifts. Like all the people were really big on, they had the strong desire to speak in tongues or perform miracles or these things. And so a lot of what Paul is doing is writing to this church. Other things that this church did was that they had some rampant sin running wild in the church that they didn't deal with, that they just ignored and they let happen. And so this church was receiving a lot of corrections. And this part that we're looking at today, at this morning, is right after he was giving them corrections about their ideas about spiritual gifts and how they thought spiritual gifts were really for themselves and to make themselves look better, and that they wanted the flashy gifts. And so after he gives this whole correction about gifts and how really he wants us to focus on what people can actually understand, and he wants us to focus on love and these things, this comes right after that. And I think it's kind of steering them back to, you know, what they really need to be focused on and what we really need to be focused on as a church and believers. There's some fundamental things that are at the foundation of all that we do and teach and all that we believe and exactly what our focus should be. So he says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. So he is writing to the church. When he addresses them as brothers, he's writing to people that are believers, or at least have said they're believers. And I'll tell you why I say that here. But he's writing to a church here in this case. And so the audience isn't to non-believers. It's really addressed to believers in a church. So he says he wanted to remind them. He wanted to remind them of the gospel that he preached. And in the gospel he preached, there would be certain things that were part of that gospel, that good news. And there were things in that gospel and good news that you couldn't discount, that you couldn't write off, that you couldn't choose to not believe those things. They were all part of the gospel, and they all went together, and that was the gospel he preached. So when he talked about that, in the gospel that he preached, he very much talked about sin and salvation, heaven and hell, and those things, and faith, and Christ paying the price at the cross, and obviously, Christ rising from the dead. Amen? So those were the things that were part of the gospel that he preached. Those were non-negotiable parts of that. And anything that God says is non-negotiable. But he says, I want to remind you about that gospel that I preached to you, and that you stand, you're taking your stand on that gospel. And he says, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now, it almost sounds like he's saying that, you know, you could have believed in vain. You can believe in Christ in vain, or you can hold on to Christ, but then choose to let go of Christ, and then you have believed in vain. Now, studying all of the scripture, I don't actually believe that's the way that we should understand this when we look at it. But I think the way that we should understand this is that it's actually impossible to truly believe the truth about Christ and to be saved and to believe that in vain. That we'll never believe, truly believe in Christ and receive him as our Savior, and that be in vain. But if we are holding on to a gutted out false idea about who Jesus is, and we don't believe the gospel that Paul preached, then we believe in vain. Amen? Amen? So that's the way that I take this and understand this. No faith in Christ, no true, no genuine faith in Christ is in vain, because that's a saving faith. And once you're saved in Christ, you're always saved in Christ, and you're a new creation in Christ, and there's no going back, because he's made something brand new of you. And his Holy Spirit has indwelt you and lives in you. But if the thing that you're holding on to that you call belief is, like I say, I'm going to say this again, an empty, gutted out version of the gospel and version of Jesus Christ, then you hold on to that faith in vain. And so this is a correction and a warning and steering people in the right direction there. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Now, so he's coming back to the very basics of our faith in Christ, the very basics of Christianity, the very basics of salvation. He's steering it back to this. He says, I delivered this to you. This is what I preached. This is what I delivered to you. He says, I deliver it to you of first importance. So when you think about the statements that could be made, the facts that can be visited, these are among the most important things in all the world right here. And I would say the way that he breaks this down, and I'm going to give it, there's two things that he's talking about here. He says a lot of words, but there really comes down to two things. And he says, these are the most important things. These two things. They're of first importance. So that's what that means. And he says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. These were not his words. This was a gospel that was given to him by Jesus. And I talked about this Friday night about Paul, you know, how he realized that he was the chief of all sinners and how Jesus converted him on the road to Damascus. And he saw himself really as the least of the apostles because of that. And we'll be getting into that a bit later. But he says that he delivered it to him of first importance, what he also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And it goes on to talk about the different people he appeared to. So I want to start off by giving you the two things, the two greatest facts in all the world, the two truths that we've got to hold on tight to with everything that we've got. And the first one is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. All right, it's more than just kind of one thing there. You have to unpack that there. So when he talks about the gospel that he preached and what's of first importance, the first thing that's important there is that Christ died for our sins and that was in accordance with the scripture. Okay, so you unwind that and you look at it. It's starting with that fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that Christ came for a purpose, and he came to save sinners like me and like you. So Christ came to do that. And he did it, and he died on that cross, and that's what we talked about Friday. So in some ways, when you think about it, we had the Good Friday message and we have the resurrection message. That's really what is being talked about in this passage, those two parts. You would have no resurrection without the death first. And the death happened for a reason. Christ died for our sins. And the other thing is, that was in accordance with the scripture. So he like it talked about in the passage we read, he had to die. And that's what the Father said. That's what the scripture says. That's what the Holy Spirit inspired. That was God's plan. And he had to die to pay for our sins, to cover our sins. And so he did that. And that was in accordance with the scripture. So I was listening to a podcast this week, and it talked about a certain pastor that I actually used to like this pastor. No, it's not that I dislike him personally. I just don't really like the places he's gone of late. His name's Andy Stanley. I don't know if any of you are aware of him, but he's been trying to make this point that people can believe in the resurrection of Christ without the Bible, and that it's enough to believe in the resurrection of Christ without the Bible, and that maybe rather than approaching people with Bible verses, you approach them with the fact of the resurrection and try to prove the resurrection. And I'm just quoting or referencing, you know, what other people have said about what he said, and it sounds kind of concerning. But it was so interesting. I was listening to that while I was preparing this, and even before the other person said, I was like, no. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again, and that's going to come later, in accordance with the scripture. And God made a big point of that here. When he says, what's of first importance? What's of first importance is not his death and his resurrection alone, but it's that it's in accordance with the scripture. And so we have that right here. So the first part of it says that, and it says this twice, in accordance with the scripture. So the fact that it's repeated, we have to realize that that's an important point that's being made here. And so Jesus came and he died on the cross in accordance with the scripture for something, for our sins. And we could be so thankful that he did that. And that's, again, why we call Good Friday good, because it's such a good thing that it wasn't you or I that had to die on the cross. Now, on Friday night, I remember it was interesting. I don't know. I think it was by mistake. And I can't remember. I think it may have been, Eric, when you were reading the passage or something, that it said, you maybe had said this, I think, but I'm not sure. It might have been one of the other people had said, my cross, when I think it was the cross or something. But it got me thinking about it, that that's essentially what happened. Jesus died on the cross that we should have been on. You know, that we deserve. That was our cross that he died on. And if we died, we could only die, and we couldn't even pay the penalty for our sins. We'd just be lost forever. But Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and because of the way he paid it, we have the opportunity to be saved, to be forgiven of our sins, to be with Christ forever. Amen? Now wake up. Right? You can be happy about that, right? Even though it's early, right? All right. Help me out up here, okay? I remember one year I came to this, and the 8 o'clock service was so fired up. The people in the 8 o'clock service were so fired up. Then I went to the 11 o'clock service, and there were a whole bunch of visitors and things, and I was like, wow, the 11 o'clock is really flat compared to the 8 o'clock service, okay? So make me think that again today, okay? All right, these are of first importance, right? Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That he was buried. Now that part is, you can connect that to the fact that he died. Who do you bury? You bury people that are dead. He was dead, he was buried. It says that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. There's a second time we see that. And what this is talking about is what we celebrate today, the resurrection of Christ. The fact that he died, he had to die for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, and he did that on the third day, and that, again, was in accordance with the scripture. So those are really the two great facts that you see, that Christ died on the cross for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he rose again, he resurrected, he didn't stay dead, and that was also in accordance with the scripture. Now, the part that you connect with that is then the fact that he went and he appeared to all these people. And we read about those things today when we were going through the passage earlier, that Christ went and he appeared to these people, that he appeared to Cephas. That's Peter. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. So first he appears to Peter, but then he appears to the 12 disciples or apostles that you would call them. Okay. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. So there was a point in time, and it may have been when Jesus gave the Great Commission. That's what some people think, that there was a time that after he came back, after he resurrected, that he appeared Listen to this. At one time to over 500 people. At one time. Those are some eyewitnesses, aren't there? You know, a group of 500 that they eyewitness Christ's resurrection. It says, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Now think about that for a second. Okay, when Paul wrote this, the time he wrote this, he's saying, of those 500 people that Christ appeared to, most of them are still alive today. Some of them have died, but most of them are still alive. So those people there were people that they could actually go to and verify this story, that they saw Christ, they saw him alive. And so that's a great, great group of eyewitnesses and a great testimony. It says, then he appeared to James. And who's James? This James is his half-brother. Okay, he appeared to James. And I don't know if we know exactly when Christ's brother actually came to saving faith in Christ, in his brother. But to me, that's also one of the great testimonies in the scripture, that Jesus' brother worshiped him as God and as Savior. That's amazing, isn't it? And because in our natural sense, it'd be very difficult to accept, you know, that your brother is the Savior of the world, that your brother is the Messiah. Now, you probably, I always like to make this joke, it was probably difficult following in his footsteps, though, wasn't it? You know, it's like, your brother is always perfect. Can you please be more like your older brother? It says, last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And this is where it's really personal to Paul. He says, last of all, you think of all these apostles, you know, that he appeared to. He appeared to me. And he said, as in one untimely born. And I think what he means by that is there was something different about the way he was born again, the way he came to Christ. If you remember and you think about it, Christ actually appeared to him later on. And he appeared to him after he ascended into heaven. He appeared to him and he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And so he also came, you know, with all that experience that he had before that. But I think that's why he calls himself as one untimely born. He says, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And this is the weight that he carried, but God used it for a good thing, and God made him an example in that way. But he had been the one that persecuted the church, that opposed the church, that tried to stop people. He would stand there at people's executions, giving approval. He would bring orders to lock people up and take them and imprison them. And he knew his past, and he knew that God changed him, and he knew that he was God's instrument. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. And so what he's saying here, first of all, is that being that he had that past, and who doesn't have a past here? Do you have a past? I have a past. We all have a past, and we all have sin struggles and things we look back on that we were ashamed of. Maybe we don't have this point in our past where we were so standing against Jesus, but the fact is, any time that we sin, you know, we're rebelling against Jesus. It's a great rebellion against Jesus whenever we sin. And so we all have that past. He looked back in his past, and what he saw when he thought about his past, and what I hope that we all see when we look at our past, is grace. God's grace. God's grace that he pours out on us. He, even though we have that past, even though we've done those things, that God still loves us and he pours out good things on us that we don't deserve. He gives us his grace and mercy. Now, how many of you, let me ask a serious question for you. How many of you are thankful and glad for God's grace in your life?
Amen.
And he poured that grace out at the cross, and he poured that grace out when he came out of the grave. And he poured that grace when he called out to you to be in a relationship with him. And if he's calling out to you today, because maybe there's someone here that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, if he's calling out to you today in that relationship, it's his grace that he's pouring out on you. And so Paul knew that about himself, and I hope that we will know that about ourselves too. And Paul said that he didn't just sit still after that. He went to work for the Lord. He said he worked hard for the Lord, but it really wasn't that he worked and he earned something or he did something. What it really was, it was God's grace working in him. God's grace working in him. And he knew that he didn't deserve to be used by God in that way. And guess what? I don't deserve to be used by God in any way, and you don't deserve to be used by God in any way. But God chose to use him, and he had a plan to use him, and he has a plan to use you too. And all that is possible because of the resurrection. And then this last part where he says this, whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Okay? He says, we preached. So it's not just himself. He's talking about others, the other apostles and other messengers of the Lord who preached the gospel, who preached the word of God. They preached the things of first importance, right? The death and resurrection of the Lord. Now, here's just a little preview to what we're going to talk about in the next service. There were people that didn't believe in the resurrection that were part of that church. Or they had joined themselves with that church, and they were teaching people that people didn't really rise from the dead. There was no resurrection. That's what they were teaching. And so this part that we're getting is working towards that. And remember when I said a gutted out Christianity? A gutted out faith? If you take the resurrection out of Christianity, you have no saving power. Amen. You have no true gospel. And so if that's the thing that you're holding on to, you're holding on in vain. There, and I think this will make it clear. There are things that we must believe. They are not optional in the scripture that God has revealed. And he's revealed some things so plainly. Now, there are some things he has, in his will, chosen to make them kind of foggy for us, kind of blurry, kind of hard for us to discern. And we wrestle with it, and we have many ideas about some things in scripture. And those things are okay. And they're that way because God intended them to be that way. But you know what God didn't intend for us to have any question on? Whether Jesus rose from the dead. No questions about that. And that we must put our faith in that to be saved. That's an absolute necessity. It's a non-negotiable. And so people had taken that and they weren't believing that. So that what he's talking about here, he says, let's come back to the very basics. Let's not have a gutted out Christianity. Let's believe the gospel that was really preached. So when you think about this, where we are today, and we're constantly moving into the future, right? And the times are constantly changing, and the world is rapidly changing around us. We have to continue to believe in and preach the gospel that the apostles preached. The gospel that's presented in the New Testament. The gospel that was prophesied about in the Old Testament. We have to hold on firm to that gospel, not any other gospel. Amen? Amen? And it's that gospel that tells us that Christ came out of the grave and the tomb is empty. Amen?
Amen.
And so today, this is okay. This is good, all right? I want you to know this. It's a celebration.
Amen.
It's a celebration. Who's coming to the potluck? Who's coming next door to the potluck? We are feasting today in celebration of the empty tomb. Amen?
Amen?
You know, look at the Bible. How much feasting did they do in the Bible? They did a lot. How much breaking of bread and fellowship did they do? Did a lot. That's what we're going to do here today too. And we're going to celebrate our risen Savior. Amen? All right. Very last thought on this, because I don't know if I'm going to see you again for the second service or what, you know. I'm challenging you to come out to both. Give the day to the Lord. What better do you have to do? I mean, I don't know. I mean, some of you probably have plans with family, right? But God has been good to you. And what he asks of you is to believe that he did it. Believe that he died for you. Believe that he rose again. Believe as part of that he loves you. That he did it for you. And the only thing that you and I can really do is place our faith in him, surrender to him, and then give our lives back to him and live for him. And so I want to invite you, if you've never received Christ, I want to invite you to receive Christ today, believe in him in that way. If you have received Christ, I want you to strengthen your commitment to him. to draw near to him. Because if you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Amen? That's what he promised to do. So use this day when we focus on the resurrection as something that you take some time. Ask God to search your heart and show you where you are. Get back. Maybe you need to get back to praying. Maybe you need to get back to reading the Bible. Maybe you need to get back to being in church regularly, these kind of things. Maybe you need to think about something. Think about what is of first importance in your life. What is of first importance? And it's possible that we get distracted and we've made something else of first importance in our lives. And if we can be convicted of that today and God can show us, that's a really good thing. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for sending your Son. And Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for inspiring this scripture and ensuring that we have it and giving us the spiritual ability to understand and interpret it, Lord. And Jesus, we thank you for coming and dying on the cross for our sins in accordance with the scripture. And we thank you for rising from the dead and conquering sin and death for us on our behalf. And we thank you for that. And again, that was according to the scripture. We love you. We praise you. We want to, as a congregation right now, sing to you and worship together. Help us to do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.